But last Sunday morning, I preached on the fear of the Lord. We're going to tonight take a look at Joshua, a type of Christ, and the many victories that he did. And I would have you look at one scripture for tonight. It's in Joshua 4:24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. The forever passages, this fits right into one of them. But that's not where we're going this morning. Last night, or yesterday afternoon, I began to sense another direction. So with that, would you please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to speak this morning on dealing with depression. How many feel like you're an expert on that one? Don't raise your hand. Dealing with depression. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1 through 4. Praise the Lord. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Brother Brian, you did such an excellent job in the adult Sunday school class with the anointing still all over you. Would you stand and ask God to bless this morning's message, please? I have been told that people often face depression at such holidays as these. Christians are not immune from depression. Because I've only had a short notice on this, please bear with me as I've done the best I could to go with what I feel the Lord wanted for this morning. In fact, I believe this message, I believe, is important. It's a subject on how to deal with depression. In fact, if it is so vital, if you will listen on purpose. Now, if I catch you not listening, you're going to depress me. So we're going to have the blind leading the blind. So please stay with me, if you would, please. I want to begin with one of the most famous passages known to believers, and that is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We read, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Would you allow me to paraphrase this verse? I don't believe I'll be doing an injustice to it at all when I paraphrase it like this. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to those who are doing what God put them here to do and are doing it where God put them to do it. That's my little paraphrase for this message. I was put here to do what God called me, and I was put here to do it, and where He put me to do it. Now, unless I've given the wrong impression, I normally am not a man given to depression. I have had my share of it, and I do not mean by that that I'm never depressed. What I mean is I don't stay depressed, and there is a big difference. I cannot tell you how this morning to avoid depression, because I feel we need it to a point. I can tell you this morning how you can come out of depression, but this message is not designed on always staying out of it. So my prayer is that the Lord would help me to preach with and to teach with some understanding and wisdom, and to use His word skillfully, because it happens to all of us, depression. And we face depression in different degrees. Jeremiah was depressed. In fact, the truth is he got so discouraged and depressed that he quit. He wanted to quit preaching. He closed his Bible and he said, I will not mention his name anymore. He was in a time of depression. But then immediately following, he says, but his word was like fire shot up in my bones. We usually emphasize the latter part of the verse, but let's take a look at all of it. Elijah in our text got depressed when Jezebel said, I'm going to kill him. And he went and he sat under a juniper tree and he requested to die. Depression generally leads, you find people in the Bible, to want to get alone and to get by themselves. It's one of the signs of people that get depressed. We always find a cave. In fact, David several times was depressed. In fact, he thought God had cast him off. And he thought that. And you read many of the Psalms where you can tell that David was dealing with depression. Soul, why art thou cast down? And three times he says that within two Psalms. And he thought God had cast him off at one time. Jonah got depressed after a great revival in Nineveh. He went out and sat down under a gourd, and he also had his place he wanted off to and requested to die. I believe John the Baptist faced and fought depression when he was in the jail and asked the question, art he that should come or do we look for another? Martin Luther had fits of depression. The story is told. One day Martin Luther went to the breakfast table and there his wife was dressed in black with a covering of black on her head. And he said, are you going to a funeral? And she said, yes. He said, who died? And she said, your God died. You've been acting like God died. And it helped snap Martin Luther out of his depression, the story says. The disciples, after Jesus had died and had been crucified, and not knowing he had been raised from the dead, we believe that they were perhaps depressed. On the road to Emmaus, there were some of the disciples, and Jesus said, why are you sad? Why are you all bummed out? And they were, I don't know what degree, they were depressed and discouraged and cast down and blue, if you please. But I like you to know that depression over the years, I have had my share, as I'm sure all of us have. I remember when I lost my vision and I was not aware that I would ever see again. I remember fighting depression at that time. I would want to get alone and take walks, and I remember battling it. I don't feel it's wise for me to go into all of my depressions, but I've had my share. Some have been longer than others. Some depressions involve family. Some depressions involve finances. Some involve church dealings and health related, but I can honestly say to you, I know what it is to be depressed. My late friend, Dr. Mark Armstrong, often fought depression. He would numerous times call me, and he would, I'd say, how are you? And I knew he didn't want to open up, but I could usually tell, okay, what's the matter, Brother Armstrong? And he would begin to weep. And he often fought discouragement and depression. And I know he really battled depression when his grandson was murdered. And, you know, we're good at hiding our depression. We often don't share it. We are not comfortable with that. I believe that's why often men in the Bible, they didn't talk about it, but they did get alone to a spot where they battled it. Charles Spurgeon fought depression. He often had to go down to Nimtone, France, and he had to spend months there due to health issues in his own body. His wife was an invalid the last 15 years of his ministry. Charles Spurgeon had great depression that swept over him. And as he would go to Nimtone, France, I don't know if I have the pronunciation of that. I know it's in France. But he would there write his sermons. And then he would send them back, and someone would read his sermons in the church. He couldn't come back because of the weather that was contrary to his health. And God's word, in my opinion, as I read it, it doesn't tell us how to avoid depression, but he does tell us that depression, when it comes, can be a visitor and not a tenant. It doesn't tell us how, in my opinion, to avoid depression. Now, some might try to take a scripture to and build a whole case on it, but I've tried it. It don't work. But it does tell us how depression, it can be a renter and not an owner. God does not tell us how to avoid depression. I don't think you're backslidden because depression comes, but God does tell us how depression can be a tourist and not a citizen. God does not tell us how to avoid depression, but he does tell us how it can be a vagrant and not a dweller, a wayfarer and not an inhabitant, a sojourner and not a host, a guest and not a family member, someone that is something that is temporary and it doesn't have to be permanent. So I will not tell you how to avoid depression. I cannot do that. I can encourage all of us, as Paul did, fight the good fight of faith. But I often have been low. I can get discouraged when I don't think God is maybe blessing the church like I think he is. And sometimes family issues and other things can enter in. And I get bothered when I see young people and I think they are not experiencing what I did and we have in our younger days, and it can really do a work on me. Now, this, I am not preaching this, fishing for you to come up and say, oh, Brother Connor, brother, that is not my point this morning, but I do want you to know I do identify with you. Let me say some words about depression that I believe that I have learned. Depression is necessary for joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. The Bible says, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. The scripture says, joy cometh in the morning. That means it's not morning yet. And that doesn't mean morning comes and depression leaves in 24 hours. But joy cometh in the morning. The valley increases the joy with the mountain peak. The clouds increase the joy of the sunlight. Now here, when we get a warm day, I see people rejoice. But our rejoicing, I can assure you, is nothing like the rejoicing where we experienced in White Salmon when we would have winter for 2 months of 5 degrees and cold and snow, and it was freezing. And we got a day where it was 45. We shouted and we acted like we got full of the Holy Ghost. It was just wonderful. And so I do know that depending on how dark it is determines how much you rejoice when the sunshine comes. Night increases the beauty of the sunset. There can be no peak without a valley. There can be no sunshine without the setting of the sun. And there can be no harvest without sowing time. So, yes, depression does come. And we must find a way to prevent it from staying. And this morning, if you're depressed, I am here to tell you, you don't have to stay that way. And if depression does come, you perhaps cannot avoid its presence, but you can avoid its continuation. I'm not trying to tell you how to prevent depression. I'm trying to tell you how you can get rid of depression once it's there. Now, how may I make sure that morning cometh? I can guarantee you that as much as the sun does shine, your morning will come. I can guarantee that. But let's take a look and see how Paul put it. Because when you read Romans chapter 7, allow me to say that you find Paul in chapter 7 was depressed. Because he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am. How am I going to get out of this condition? How am I going to escape? I'm wretched." But Romans chapter 8 was the victory chapter. Romans 7 is the valley chapter. Romans 8 is the mountaintop chapter. Romans 7 is the midnight chapter. And Romans 8 is the noontime chapter. Romans 7 is the winter chapter. Romans 8 is the summertime chapter. Romans 7 is the cloudy chapter. And Romans 8 is the sunshine chapter. Romans 7 is the rainy, foggy, drizzling, miserable, no fireplace. If I keep going, I'll depress myself. And if you keep giving these analogies, Pastor, you'll depress me. But Romans 8 is the rainbow chapter. Romans 7 is depression. Romans 8 is the elation chapter. But listen how he came out of it. Please notice this. He says, "All things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose, or for those who are made to do where God made them to do it." So let me say, when depression comes, what do you do? The first thing you do is start doing what God put you here to do. Don't get away for a few days. Get with it for a few days. Because our natural reaction, as you find each of these men getting off by themselves, was not the remedy for their depression. God had them get busy. So when you're depressed, don't withdraw, attack. When you get depressed, don't resign, reassign. When you get depressed, man your post, do your duty, carry out your assignment. Obey orders. Do what you were meant to do. Do what you were made to do. Work your way out of depression. You don't go to reclusiveness to get out of depression. You get out of depression by doing the thing God put you here on the earth to do. And that's the way you get out of depression. I believe this Bible teaches. Notice what he said to Elijah, who was depressed. He gave him an assignment. He said, "Arise and eat." How many like eating? Okay, I can do that. But careful, some people get depressed and that might not. No, you got to run it off. Arise and eat. Notice he said, "For the journey is great." What I want us to know is there is an assignment awaiting you. That was the first time that he spoke to Elijah. But sometimes, as much as Jesus had to touch a man twice that didn't see to get his vision, sometimes the Lord has to speak to us twice. So he did run, and he ran a great way until he found his cave. That's not what the Lord wanted him to do. He still is wanting to get alone and all by himself, and not so much as to seek God, but just we want to get alone. And it says that he arose again and he ended up in a cave. All of us have our caves. God said again to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And again the answer that God gave him was to go forth, get out of your cave. And then he told him, to go anoint Hazael and to be king over Syria. And it didn't end there. Then there's going to be a young man that by the name of Elisha that you are to anoint. And the point is that Elijah, get busy and do what I've called you to do. And all of us have something to do, so get busy in whatever it was you were doing before you got depressed, and do it with all thy might, and stay busy. And when Jeremiah said, I will not make mention of his name again. But then he said his word was like fire. And notice what he said, I could not stay. Meaning, the anointing that is wanting to move you out of your depression will get you moving. It'll get you doing something rather than doing nothing and letting it feed the depression. And when he says, I could not stay, you see, the anointing of God wants to move you, wants to get you busy rather than doing nothing. 1980, I had the carpet pulled out from under me and my vision was gone. And I remember as I fought depression that I remember reading about Jonathan Edwards, who apparently was blind. But when he would read the sermon, people would fall out of the pew. And when I read my sermon and I was blind, nobody fell out of their pew. They just wept and felt bad for me. But I remember going on long walks, not to find a cave, but I can't tell you when the depression left, but I know that it did leave as I would read sermons and I would pray and seek the Lord. And somewhere along the line, joy came in the morning. I remember one time I got alone and I started preaching a sermon to the valley of the hills, and I preached myself so happy, I thought, I'm not depressed no more. But that's how you do it. You don't go to some, now bear with me, some stupid psychiatrist who doesn't know the Bible and gives you wrong, unscriptural advice that's contrary to the Word of God and maybe want to fill you full of pills that are not really intended to do what they really can do. What I'm trying to say is you don't retreat your way out of it, you advance your way out of it. And let me tell you this morning, and I mean this in all love, you cannot perhaps prevent depression, but if you'll get busy for doing what God in heaven put you on earth here to do for Him, you can see that depression is not there to stay. And I suppose if I had not have experienced depression myself, I would feel really awkward in sharing with you how to come out of it. But I know that from the Word of God, in the case of every person I read, God had them just get busy doing what they did, and somewhere along the line it helps and it works. And may we learn that depression is not a permanent thing. It too will pass. But Jesus and His words will abide forever. After resigning my pastorship in White Salmon, I probably, about a year later, went into one of the deepest depressions I've ever had in my life. I remember when I would talk to Brother Armstrong, he'd say, how are you doing? I said, fine. He said, I can tell you're not. And he would pray with me. And my wife knew I was depressed. And I fought it deeply. I can't honestly tell you when it left, but I can honestly say that I just tried to stay busy and it worked its way out. You talk about a battle. I did what I only knew how to do. I thought I better practice what I've preached over all these years. So I'd read sermons by different men that I felt could minister to me. And though at times, and there were Sundays I didn't have a place to preach, I would find myself going out where no one was there, and I would preach a sermon as though it was to myself. And I found out that God is faithful, that God does answer prayer, and that this too will pass. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, they that goeth forth weeping. Why do you think you're weeping? because you're fighting things that are against your system, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless. You know what doubtless means? There's no doubt about it. It will happen. There is good that will work out of it. And shall come rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So I just want to say, get to work. Stay busy. I think that the advice often that we tell ourselves is, well, I just need a break, and I need to get away, and I need to get alone. No, you don't. You don't want to do that. You want to stay busy for God, doing whatever it is. You say, Pastor, you're a preacher. I'm not a preacher. What do I do? Well, whatever you were doing before, stay busy. And whatever occupation or unoccupation you be at, stay busy. And just stay at it. And I'm trying to tell you that people that tell you to retreat and to withdraw are not speaking from God's counsel. That's how you dig a deeper hole. I'm saying find out what God wants you to do and do it where God wants you to do it. And you will not prevent depression, but you can stop depression. It seems we have to learn these lessons over and over again. I remember when I was a brand new Christian, I didn't think I'd ever come down. I mean, I was higher than a kite. I'd been full of the Holy Ghost, and I mean, it would be impossible ever to be sad again. I found a diary that I had years ago. I don't keep them anymore. If anything, I'll keep a diary on the goodness of God. But I'd write down my moods. I came across that thing and I started rebuking myself when I saw what I'd written down. I thought, good night, what are you talking about? And I said, I feel sad, I feel this, I feel this, I feel that. And I thought, I wish I could jump back into time and reach up and pop you and say, knock that self-concern off. But anyway, I was at a job. And depression came. I don't even remember what it came about, but I was depressed. Well, there had been a man on the job that I had met months ago on a different job site. And as I approached him, his name was Smitty. He was running a tractor and he was grading the lots on a track that was to come. And he was putting them in, doing a good job. And we got to know each other, and one day when I saw him, I said, how you doing, Smitty? And I could tell he wasn't doing well. And so I said, what's wrong? And he said, well, he says, I'm just discouraged. I'm depressed. And now, see, I'm really happy. And I'm saying, well, Smitty, why are you depressed? I know you love the Lord. And he said, I've been seeking the baptism for 20 years, and I've never gotten it. And he said, there's been a revival, and the preacher's been preaching on it every night, and every night I've gone down to get the baptism, and he said, I haven't gotten the baptism. And he said, I've just begun to question things, and I don't like the thoughts that are going on in my mind. And he said, I'm being honest with you. I haven't even told my wife, but he said, I'm depressed. I said, Smitty, you want God to fill you with the Holy Ghost? He said, oh, I do. Man, I said, let's just pray right now. He said, now? And I said, yeah, keep the tractor running. Nobody will hear us. So we started praying. And I mean, he's got his hands a-shaking and he's stammering his lips when somebody came up behind him and said, what are you folks doing? And we stopped. And I said, Smitty, God will fill you. He will. And what I did not know is the next night he went to church. He got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and he spoke in tongues. Now, I don't know that. And about 3 months pass, and now I'm on the job, and I'm down. And I'm in one of those, I'm too young to be down. Good night. This is for something older than me, and I'm 19 and depressed. And Smitty comes up, and he hadn't seen me in 3 months. And he said, well, how you doing? And, oh, fine. He said, no. He said, I can tell you're not fine. What's the matter? So I don't know, Smitty. And he said, I don't understand you. He said, I can't understand anybody getting depressed. He said, now I know I was depressed, but he said, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I said, he did? He said, yes. He said, the very next night I went to church, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I spoke in tongues. He says, I've been doing it every day ever since. And he says, for anybody to ever doubt God, he said, I don't understand that. And then he pointed to a clock that was, I don't know if it was part of the track, but it was this big tower and it had a clock on four sides. He says, have you noticed that clock is out of time? That one has a different time than this one. He says, you know why? He says, because man made that clock. But he said, let me point to you a clock that has never lost time except when the sun stood still. And he pointed to the sun. He said, goes down, same time every day. In fact, he said, Monday Night Football. He said, I just watched it last night. And he said, did you notice those two teams were running at 20 miles an hour, hit each other, and they get down, they get up, and they do it again. He said, but you take an automobile. You take the finest automobile. You let them run 20 miles together. And he says, the finest equipment we make, he said, it busted all up. You know why? That's what man does. But if you'll see what God does, and pretty soon, oh, Schmitty, he got my faith back on track. I said, oh, thank you, Schmitty. I needed that. And I got out of my truck and I did a little jig around the truck and hallelujah. And Sean died for a while and had a good time. But depression does come. This is one of my favorite stories. And in fact, that man did what Proverbs 25:13 says, a faithful messenger refreshes the soul of his master. We both had the same master, and he refreshed my soul. It's one of my favorite stories. It was told during the Depression. Everybody was out of work. And this one man went to a zoo, and he asked if he could have a job, and they said, we're sorry, there's no work available. He said, but I've got to have a job. He said, we're sorry. As he started to walk away, he said, but wait a minute. He said, we had a baboon that died. And he said, you look about the size of that baboon. He said, we skinned it. And he said, if you will, we'll sew up that thing and you crawl in it, and you can be the baboon in the zoo. But if anybody ever finds out you're a baboon, you don't have a job. He said, I can be a baboon. So they sewed him up, and he's in this cage, and he's doing whatever baboons do. When some kids were out there, and they saw him, and one of them picked up a rock and threw it, and it went through the bars and hit the baboon in the head. And boy, it made the man mad. But he knew he couldn't give away that he was a baboon. So he went up to the cage and he started shaking his fist at him. And the kids thought, well, looky there at that baboon. He's shaking his fist. And isn't that funny? And the crowd began to gather. And he shook those cage, mad at those boys for doing that. When what he didn't realize, he shook so hard next to him was the lion cage. And he, apparently, they didn't lock the door properly, and a lion began to crawl in to where the baboon was. He saw that lion, he thought, oh my goodness, and over there was a rope, so he climbed up on that rope, and he's holding himself when that lion came underneath him and began to get on his back hindquarters and paw at him. And now the man says, help! Help! And the crowd began to say, well, look at it, the talking baboon! Help! When finally the old lion reached up and he said, shut up, you old baboon. You keep it up and we'll both be out of a job. You know, when you read chapter 11 of Hebrews, if you take a look at each of those characters, I believe every one of them fought depression or discouragement. Abraham, years without a son. And then, you know, he fought discouragement when he was told that Hagar had to leave. And Abraham makes that prayer that all that Ishmael might live before that. He loved that son. And then you have Noah that is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 of people of faith. But Noah being warned of God. You know good and well that Noah fought discouragement and depression. After all those years of preaching, and the only ones that repented or would get in the ark were the eight souls of his family. Even in the ark, you know he had to be fighting depression, wondering, when will these waters go down? Then they list Jacob. We know Jacob must have fought depression, discouragement after Laban changed his wages all those times and his boss was not fair. And then there was the concern of his brother, whether he would accept him. We know how Jacob wrestled with an angel all night. Then we have Moses. You know that Moses fought depression when he had to leave Pharaoh's house after he had killed that man, thinking he had been unjust. And now on the backside of the wilderness, 40 years. You know good and well that he fought depression at times and discouragement. Samson is another one that's listed with his eyes put out. And at the grinding mill, you know that he fought depression. And Jephthah, who lost his daughter because of his vow. And then David and the prophets and Jeremiah, Isaiah. And then he says these words, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, meaning Christ had not yet come, and yet they believed God's word. Because he mentions them out of chapter 11, and then the Holy Spirit guides the writer with the pen and says, seeing we are encompassed about with these so great a cloud of witnesses, let us all run the race, laying aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In other words, he's saying to a people that he knows is going through hard times, and many of them, no doubt, fighting discouragement and depression, get busy. Keep running the race. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And then he says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, a type of discouragement, depression, and the feeble knees. The Holy Spirit knew that there would be battles and discouragement. And then, as he's ministering to these people who are just like us, he says in chapter 13, all with these thoughts in mind of these people going through their difficult times of discouragement and depression and circumstances, for he hath said in verse 5 of chapter 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He can't help you if you're doing nothing. He can help you when you're doing whatever you're supposed to be doing. If I'm in my cave, he comes. He might try to help me to get out of my cave, but he helps you to do what we're supposed to do. So do what God put you here to do. Let me close. Debbie, would you come? It pays to serve Jesus. I haven't told you perhaps anything you haven't known, but I myself have learned from these 43 years. Do what God called you to do. Do it where God called you to do it. I am standing behind this pulpit ending the year 2013 doing what I was called to do. Yes, there's been a few times I've stepped into this pulpit and I have been depressed and I have been discouraged, but I just keep doing what God wants me to do. Wives get discouraged. Grandmas and grandpas get discouraged. Everybody is subject to it. But may I just encourage you, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you always. Stay busy for God. You can't keep it from coming, but you can keep it from staying. You say, well, Brother Connor, what was I put here to do? You were put here to trust Christ. You were made for heaven. You weren't made for hell. God made hell for the devil and his angels. So if you go to hell, you'll be an intruder. So realize that you've put your trust in Christ, and depression cannot stay. Morning will come. I repeat, I'm not telling you how to avoid depression, but I can tell you don't cure it by a pill or ungodly counsel or a trip to a cave. And I'm not putting down doctors that agree with Scripture in what they say, but I can honestly say this works. This is what works. Let us stand this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to the close of this year, and I know, Lord, that through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. And I pray, Lord, that each one here today has learned not only through the teaching and the preaching, but also by experience, to put our eyes on you and keep marching and keep walking and keep running the race. And Lord, to stay busy in what you've called each of us to do, in the occupation you've called us, and your will has divinely guided us. Lord, this too will pass. And Lord, I pray your blessings on your people. In Christ's mighty name, amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and don't ask them if they're depressed. Just love them.